Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Over the last few days, we've looked at the concept of Jahannam. And today I'd like to start looking at the concept of Jannah. Well, firstly, what is Jannah? And two English words are often used to translate it into English, either paradise or heaven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word Jannah in 67 ayat of the Quran, but they are used in three ways. The first pattern we see is the usage of the word without being associated with the definite article, that is al, which is the. Now I'll give you an example. For example, in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 265 and 266, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَمَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَتَثْتِيمًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ كَمَثَلِ جَنَّةٍ بِرَبْوَةٍ أَصَابَهَا وَابِلٌ فَآتَتْ أُكُلَهَا ضِعْفَيْنِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يُصِبْهَا وَابِلٌ فَظَلٌّ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. And the parable of those who spend their property to seek the pleasure of Allah and for the certainty of their own souls is as the parable of a garden on an elevated ground upon which heavy rain falls. So it brings forth its fruit twofold. But if heavy rain does not fall upon it, then light rain is sufficient and Allah sees what you do. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the gardens of earth. And we find this repeated in another 7 ayat or 6 ayat of the Quran, and all these refer to the gardens of earth. For your reference, it will be ayah number 91 of Surah Bani Israel, ayah 8 of Surah Furqan, this is Surah number 25, ayah 15 and 16 of Surah Sabah, this is Surah number 34, Ayah 9 of Surah Al-Qaf, this is Surah number 50, and Ayah 16 of Surah Al-Naba, we also find a mention of this sort of garden in Surah Al-An'am in Ayah number 141. So this is the first section. These are gardens of the earth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses them as parables in many instances. The second pattern we find is where the definite article is mentioned, that means it will say Al-Jannah, but with earthly descriptions. And here we find, for example, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 35, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَقُلْنَا يَا عَدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةَ وَقُلَا مِنْهَا رَغْدًا هَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجْرَةَ فَتَقُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And we said, O Adam, live you and your wife in the garden and eat from it as much food as you wish and do not approach this tree, for then you will be of the unjust. And further descriptions are found in Surah Al-Taha, this is Surah number 20. If we look at Ayah 117 to 121, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the essentials of life, food, water and shelter. And from this we are told by the Mufassirin that this is the Jannah of Prophet Adam alayhi salam and Sayyidah Hawa, which was an earthly Jannah in a mountainous region in which rivers flow and animals live. But the third pattern or the third descriptions that we have is mentioned with the al, that means with the definite article, but we find that the descriptions are non-earthly. I'll take one example. If we look at Surah Al-Imran, Ayah 133, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَصَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْعَرْضُ عُدَّةٍ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And hurry to the forgiveness from your Rabb and a Jannah or a garden, the extensiveness of which is the heavens and the earth. It is prepared for those who are God conscious. So we find in, again, many, many descriptions that this is a Jannah whose width is equal to the skies and the earth. It has rivers underneath. There is perpetual food and shelter. I'll give you an example. If we look at Surah number 37, which is Surah As-Saffat, and if we look at Ayah 43, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, fi jannatin na'im. Now, this is the Jannah he's talking about. He says there's water running out of springs. He says there are fruits, فَوَاقِعَ وَهُمْ مُقْرَمُونَ. There is known sustenance, وَلَيْكَ لَهُمْ رِزْقٌ مَعْلُومٌ. This is Ayah 41. And looking at this section of the surah, we find that it has an amazing description of something that cannot even be imagined on earth. But in essence, the concept of Jannah, described so beautifully, is at the heart of matter, the seeking or the achieving of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this literally means to be able to do one's best, to seek one's full potential. Now you'll find that when we're describing those who are destined for Jannah, or we're describing the inmates of Jannah, the two words we find coming up in the Quran are both Ahlul Jannah and Ashabul Jannah. Ahlul Jannah is the description of those who are destined for Jannah. That means that's what they're called on earth. In Jannah, they will be called Ashabul Jannah. That is why we find Imam Hassan and Hussain alayhi salam are called Sayyid al-Shabab Ahl al-Jannah, meaning they're the leaders of the people destined for Jannah on this earth. So on the earth, when we manifest the signs of those destined for Jannah, we're known as Ahl al-Jannah. In Jannah, we're known as Ashab al-Jannah. So let's today look at the qualities of Ahlul Jannah as described by the Quran. And in essence, it is those who strive to reach their full potential as human beings. The Creator, Khalik, our Khalik, calls these batch of peoples successful. If we look at Surah number 59, which is Surah Al-Hashr, and we'll look at Ayah 20, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة. Not alike are the inmates of the fire and the inmates of the garden. In other words, أصحاب النار and أصحاب الجنة are not the same. He says, أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون. The dwellers of the garden of Jannah are those who are achievers, those who are successful, those who have strived to reach their full potential. Now, we've also got to understand that there is absolutely no gender bias. And so before we start, we've got to lay down some precepts. No gender bias. How do I know? Let's look at Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 124. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ نَقِيرًا. And whoever does good deeds, whether male or female, and he or she is a believer, these shall enter Jannah, and they shall not be dealt with even unjustly, even for a bit. Let's look at the second precept we got to lay down in our minds. The achievement of success is never ever beyond one's capacity. Never can one say that, but I cannot get there. Again, let's look at the Quran, Surah Al-A'raf, Surah number 7, and we look at Ayah 42. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. It is so beautiful. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. As for those who believe and do good deeds, we do not impose on any soul a duty except to the extent of its ability. They are the dwellers of Jannah. In it they shall abide. And finally, how will I know? This is a precept we're laying down. How will I know when I will find out whether I've been successful or not? Well, let's look at the Quran, Surah number 16, which is Surah An-Nahl, the Surah of the Bee, and we look at Ayah 32. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says so beautifully, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alladhina tatawaffahumul malaikatu tayyibina yaquluna salamun alaykum. Those whom the angels cause to die in a good state, they will say to them, peace be upon you, enter Jannah. for what you did. So the news of Jannah is given at the point of death. So these are the precepts we need to keep in mind. There is no gender bias. The achievement is not beyond one's capacity. And the news of Jannah will be given at the point of death. Inshallah, tomorrow we will continue at first looking at the qualities that are required to be Ahlul Jannah and eventually, inshallah, Ashabul Jannah.